Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Developing Synergy Between Your Church and School Ministry by Dr. Manuel Salazar. Dr. Manuel Salazar is the administrator of Lancaster Baptist School. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
1 Timothy chapter 3. And I just want to read verse 15. If you're just coming in, we're on page 31.1 in your conference notebook. Page 31.1. And again, what a privilege and joy it is to be here. And we're looking forward to a great session today. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says in verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Would you say that last part with me? Ready? The pillar and ground of the truth. The church is truly the foundation for everything we do in every part of the ministry, including the Christian school. As an introduction, today we see a large percentage of Christian schools. And I'm saying in general, Christian schools that have the name Christian, probably 3 out of 4 today, don't have that foundation. In other words, the tail is wagging the dog. Are you with me? And instead of a Christian school having that foundation of the local New Testament church, being built on that pillar and ground of truth, you have it out there in the world, it has no anchor, and it starts to waffle, and it begins to compromise. And so what you have today in America is 3 out of 4 Christian schools, and it's sad to say that it's 3 out of 4 Christian schools, are either compromising schools, or they're a liability and not an asset to the local New Testament church. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a good position to be in. But that's where we find ourselves in 2010. And so I want to talk to you today about building the synergies, having that right philosophy, having the church first philosophy, having that Christian school not just be a part or a side ministry of the local New Testament church, but built upon the foundation, the pillar and ground of truth, the local New Testament church. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Our Father, I do thank you for every delegate that is now present. And Father, what an amazing privilege we have to be a part of churches that have Christian schools. But Father, we know that many of these Christian schools are not what you would want them to be today. I pray that we would seek ways, not just to make sure that we're doctrinally correct, but, Father, to make sure that we are in every aspect biblically correct in our academics, in our discipleship, in every part of the Christian school ministry. That includes our athletics. That includes fine arts. That includes every social aspect of the school. And, Father, that includes the finances of the Christian school. So help us to realize the greatest asset for the Christian school is the local New Testament Baptist Church. Help us to realize that one of the greatest assets of the local New Testament church today is a strong, healthy, vibrant Christian school. And so, Father, may this session be a help. May it help us to go back to our respective schools, our ministries, and help to see stronger Christian schools for the glory of God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. While we do have somewhat of a smaller group, I love to have these smaller sessions. Feel free to ask some questions. I know probably about half of you, but let's just take probably about 5 minutes overall. So that means maybe just stand up, tell us your name and where you're from and your Christian school, maybe what you do real quick. And let's just do that very quickly. And why don't we start right back here? Brother Shore, why don't you lead us off? Since you're from Las Vegas, you're used to taking high risk, right? Brother Shore. Amen. All right, just come on around here, guys. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, right here. Great, great. Do you know, boy, he used to be there several years ago. Brian, I think he was one of your vice principals. What was it? Yes. He's not there anymore, is he? Okay, he's in church, yeah. Okay, very good. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. Amen. And that's Pastor Shetler. All right. We're glad you're here. How about over here, guys? All right. All right. In the back row right here. Amen. Amen. Right here, guys. Okay, very good. All right, amen. And Dave's sister is our school office manager, and my secretary does a tremendous job. I think she's been doing that for, what, 12 years, something like that? It's a long time. Let's start in the back real quick, ladies. Just tell us your name, where you're from. Yes. Amen. We're glad you're here. All right, great. Now, I know there's a place over there somewhere in Louisville where our basketball team goes and plays in tournaments. That's where it's going. That's where it's at. Yeah, most of the time they come back with a banner, which is a good thing. So, all right. All right, she'll be teaching in our high school math department. We're looking forward to her coming on board. Right here. Amen. Okay, great. Great. All right. And wait a minute, Anna, aren't you going to tell us about any exciting news? All right, great, okay.
Charles Paul, Grace Baptist Academy, Montebello, California. I'm on the school board.
Amen. All right. Ruben?
Ruben Nunez, Plantation Baptist Church, outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Plantation Baptist Christian Academy. I am a pastor's assistant.
Amen. All right. Very good. All right, brother.
Mark Bischoff, I'm in Heritage Baptist Church, Heritage Christian School, which is in Woodbridge, Virginia. I teach in the high school, math and science, and I'm also the vice president.
Amen.
Cole Crownover, Centennial Baptist Church, Centennial Baptist School in Caldwell, Iowa, and I'm the principal.
All right. Brother Lobos? Amen. And his wonderful wife is with them. Amen. All right. Well, we sure appreciate all of you being here. And if you have a question as we go through these 10 areas, I want you to ask them. I brought some examples to show you. And later on, if you say, hey, I could maybe like to be sent one of those examples, I can do that. Just email me and I'll have any resources that I show you available to you, okay? So let's get right into it. The first point is communicating the vision and purpose of the school to the church. And this is an important foundation that we have to do. And how do we communicate? How do we communicate the vision and purpose of that school to your church? Well, there's a variety of ways that you do it. But it really has to start from the top down. And what is the top down? Who's the top? The pastor. Of course, the Lord is the shepherd, and the under-shepherd is the pastor. So the first place it needs to start is in the pulpit. Amen? If you're going to set the right tone for a Christian school and for Christian education, it has to come from your pastor. That type of leadership, if it's lacking, your school's going to waffle. Your school's not going to be all that it can be for the Lord. So sometimes it's good for you as a school administrator, as you have meetings with the pastor, you want to bring up strategic times in the school's history and life where maybe he could gear a message. We do a variety of things on Sunday night, and we don't do a lot of Christian education messages per se, specifically for Christian schools in the morning time. Pastor focuses on what? Salvation message. But in the evening time, that's your bread and butter. And to be a part of our Christian school, I can tell you that it's a little bit unique here. It's going to be different where all of you are at. And by the way, there's not a right or wrong way. Being open, being closed, being selective. The Bible doesn't say one's a sin and one's not. Amen? Let's make that clear. Whatever the Lord has laid on your pastor's heart is what you need to follow. And building that synergy, again, starts with the leadership from the top down. We're a little unique where we are a closed school. Not only do you have to be a member of our church to come to our school, but you have to be a three to thrive. That means you're, in fact, just getting into the school, you have to get a recommendation form from your Sunday school teacher, which tells us if you're going to where? Sunday school. If you're not going to Sunday school, which is an important part of discipleship and growth, do you think they're going to be supportive parents in a Christian school? If they're not coming to Sunday night, getting the meat and potatoes, and Wednesday, do you think they're going to be able to understand what you're doing in Christian school? Probably not. You're going to have a lot of issues. And so 22 years ago, when Pastor started our school, its focus was on discipleship. Its focus was on helping our existing families, members of the church that are growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that are three to thrive, tithing families of our church. And in California, the average tuition price for a school like ours is around $600 low-end to $1,000 a month. Some places, Christian school, Southern California, $25,000 a year. And it doesn't compare to what they get in our school. We educate children for around $2,800 a year. That's what we charge for tuition as a whole. How do you do that? Well, we do that because we tell families they need to be tithing members of the church. Amen? Amen. If they're tithing members of the church, if we're a little bit short, the church can help. Amen? By the way, even tuition being that low, our school, on a regular basis, adds to the church, doesn't take from the church in any way, spiritually or financially. A good school, once it's started, the first year or two, you might need some help. By the third, fourth, and fifth year, you should be adding to the church, not taking from it. And see, what we have in Christian education today is we have a substandard product sometimes. It's kind of like a glorified Sunday school or VBS. It's not high quality, so parents don't send their kids there. It's not all that it needs to be. Listen here. The Lord's schools ought to be the finest schools in America, period. Spiritually, for sure, but also academically, also in fine arts, also socially. And athletically, not that we're going to have all the facilities and the swimming pools and the stadiums. We don't get the tax stimulus, amen? We don't get President Obama's, how many trillions was it? We don't get any of that, right? But what we teach in our athletic program is a lot better than any place else, amen? Teach not just sportsmanship and teamwork and self-discipline, but you teach how to be a strong Christian in adversity, amen? Character is revealed on that football field. By the way, we have the privilege of playing tackle football. Emotions get high sometimes, right? But you know where football is on our program? It's way down here. Why? Because the spiritual thrust is first. All right, and so how does that, all the priorities get set? The pastor. From where? From the pulpit. If the pastor's always talking about tackle football and doesn't talk about the kids making decisions in chapel for salvation, being called to the mission field, being called to go to Bible college, then the only thing the church is seeing is athletics. What do you think they're going to think? All right, so the pastor has to set that right tone. Number two, the principal has to set that right tone. The school principal. What do you do in chapel? Who do you honor in chapel? Well, I'm glad that we honor Christian character in chapel. I'm glad from time to time we honor academics, because that is important. But the greatest awards we give out have to do with servant leadership. Our kids that maybe work on the bus route. Our kids that work as assistant teachers in the Sunday school. That's building the synergy. Do you understand that a school by itself doesn't have a synergy? It dies out. It waffles and compromises. A church without a school, did you hear Brother Ouellette had said this morning? A church that thinks that they can just send their kids to Pharaoh schools and think that they're going to be the light and not be affected in a negative way, they're kind of foolish, aren't they? Hello? Yes. There needs to be an exodus. It still blows my mind that 90% of Christian families have their kids in a secular, humanistic place that rejects Christ and rejects His Word. Are you with me? Let's wake up and smell the coffee. You're called to be a Christian. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. It's not in the ways of the world. It's in the ways of the Word of God. That means 24 hours a day, ladies and gentlemen. That means until they develop a biblical worldview and they can stand on their own. The Bible says the principal thing is what? Wisdom. It's wisdom. It's not getting straight in chemistry. I pray that they do. But if you can have a child that gets a straight A 4.0 in every subject, graduates valedictorian, but doesn't know their creator or the wisdom of God, then you failed as a Christian school teacher. Are you with me? Those things are important. Don't get me wrong. What I see in Christian schools today is spiritually they're not where they ought to be. Academically, they're way down here in a lot of realms. Listen, the spiritual thrust has to be first, but the academics needs to be right under there. The social aspects, the fine arts, all of those things. The tone is set by the pulpit and by the principal. We have what's called a Christian school night. So on a Sunday night, every springtime, we showcase what the kids are learning. We have demonstrations. We have some of the school kids' ensembles sing. They basically will do a 30-minute presentation of what goes on in the school. We'll show a video. Do you have a good school video? If you go to our website, lancasterbaptistschool.org, at the very bottom corner, you'll see our school seal. Click on it. You'll see a 6-minute video. That video tells you the vision and purpose of our school. It lays it out for you. Any visitor that's coming to our church and they want to see it. Listen, again, the church is the greatest asset for the school. The school is really one of the greatest assets for the church. And what we see is the church and school in some places are working against one another. Or the school, again, is trying to take over what the church is supposed to be doing. Amen? Or the school becomes such a financial drag, it ought not to be, but it does, where the school wants to close it, or they don't really want to be able to expand it. Listen, we need more Christian schools, but we need the existing Christian schools to be a whole lot better. Again, the Lord's schools ought to be the what? The best schools, period, in America. The best schools. And so communicating the vision and purpose of the school. Do that from the pulpit. Do it with the principal. Have your parents give some testimonies. Christian school night, we might have some testimonies sometimes. You can record some short testimonies of how the Christian school, the church, the home working together affected a child. Make little testimonials and put them on your website. Make sure that parents, listen, by the way, parents do talk. You're not going to stop all the talk. Let's make sure it's positive by having a quality product and having a spiritual thrust. Amen? I find that parents don't talk when you're trying to do your very best for the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they're a little more forgiving when they know you're very sincere and transparent. Amen? And so you want to make sure you communicate that vision of the school's purpose. What is our purpose, by the way? What's the purpose of a Christian school? To train kids for the world? To train them for the Lord, right? So why so many Christian schools have a majority of their graduates going to worldly, secular colleges? Just a thought. Hey, if I had a Christian school and called it Christian school, and 90% of my graduates went to heathen universities, I would be very concerned. Hello? I'm trying to be kind, but I'm trying to be honest too. Amen? We're not training them for the world. We're training them for the Lord. Now, I'm not going to force a student. In fact, I normally don't even talk about it. I want the Lord to get a hold of their heart from the inside out. We don't push West Coast Baptist College on our graduates. For 22 years, we have had a school that has wanted to develop a heart for God in our students, first and foremost. Because that has been the purpose, to nurture them, to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, to assist parents in equipping them to serve the Lord. Two out of three of our graduates, as long as we've been a school for 22 years, have gone on to Bible college to serve the Lord in ministry. Listen, that might change. I hope that it does change because we need more in the ministry, amen? But if two out of three of your graduates are going to UCLA and USC, we probably have an issue. Something's not going on there. Now, does the Lord call engineers? Yes. So don't get me wrong here. In fact, I was just meeting with one of our graduates from a couple years ago. His name is Peter. Peter received a full scholarship from the Department of Defense. Now, Peter was a brilliant student, had about a 3.9 grade point average, worked hard, had strong Christian character. And Peter applied for the scholarship. We wrote him recommendations, sent off transcripts. Peter got a scholarship, an engineering scholarship, to Cal Poly Pomona, which is a very good school, for $250,000. $250,000. Pays for everything. And the Department of Defense, for 10 weeks at Edwards Air Force Base, puts him to work and pays for him on top of that. All paid for, 100%. Hey, that's great. That's what the Lord's called him to do. And we knew that early on. I just had another student just graduated with a 4.17 grade point average because he took all the 5.0 honors courses. Just got his ACT scores back, scored in the top 1% of the nation of everyone who took the test. He wants to be an engineer. So on the application, he applied to MIT, Stanford, and Harvard. And I'm sure one or more of those schools will accept him. Because he has strong character, number one. That's God's calling on his life. So we're not trying to redirect people. Are you with me? But when you develop a heart for God, God has a tendency of calling those young people at various ages throughout junior high and high school to serve in the ministry. If our pastors and missionaries don't come from our Christian schools, where are they going to come from? Are you with me? And so we have to communicate the purpose of the school from the pulpit and from the principal and then from parents. We need to move on. I could spend a little more time on that. It's very important. Creating and maintaining a church-first philosophy. I'm just going to give you some examples of some literature that we have. And first of all, if you don't have a good school brochure, make sure you have a nice brochure. This is our latest one. And, of course, the first thing when you open our school brochure, synergies between the what? Church and school. Who do you see there? Our pastor. Here's the distinctives of the school. Right? Now, how many times does Pastor Chapel come over to the school? He surprised me the other day last week. He came over to my office. I hadn't seen him over there in about 3 years. Caught us a little bit off guard. He doesn't come in every classroom. Why? Because I'm his representative and I do that. And I meet with him every week and tell him how's it going, right? But he's the overseer, right? He has delegated to me the responsibility to administrate the school. Visually, he will always be the leader of the school. On everything that you see from this ministry, he is the leader of the school, even though he's not the one day-to-day watching the operations. Are you with me? This builds synergy. Why? Because new people, when they see this, they see the church, right? That is a tremendous opportunity for you to reach out to them. And so within this brochure, you see the whole philosophy, every aspect of the school. And again, on the back here, the first name you see there is Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor. You go to our website, and you see school administration. Who's the first person you're going to see there? Your pastor. Now, I go to some Christian school websites, I can't even find who the pastor is. And it's a part of a local church. You have to create and maintain a church-first philosophy. The first way you do that is making sure that in all of your literature and all of your information, the pastor is the head. That's the most important aspect of it. Yes, sir? We have about 400 to 500 new families that come to our church every year. That's on the average the last 4 or 5 years. 4 to 5 new families that don't know anything about our school. And so we have an open house for them. When they join the church after a period of time, I'll send them this brochure. I'll send them a link to watch the video. And I know this may sound strange to some of you, but we normally don't have even our church members become a part of our school for at least a year after they've been here. The school is not about just trying to make money. By the way, that should never be the purpose of a Christian school. But you ought to break even at least if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Our school is truly a place to equip young people to live for the Lord. If they're not serious about their relationship with the Lord and about their school and academics, they probably won't last very long in our school. We probably won't even let them into our school, to be honest with you. We get calls every single week from this community. If we opened up, I have no doubt in 18 months we'll have 2,000 students. We run just under 500 students, but that's just our church family. There's another 300 to 400 students that could come to our school that either they see the materials, and then another reason why we put the materials out, we want them to know. We love you. We love the Lord. This is what we are. Well, there's no secrets. We're going to train young people to love the Lord. We're going to train young people to be equipped to serve the Lord. We're going to give them an excellent, outstanding education. But there's some things that they're going to have to know what we stand for. And so you want to communicate that. Again, that comes from the top down. Why are you there as a school? It's not just to be a K-12 place to go to get an education. So you can run off to UCLA. For most people, that's not the case. Are you with me? But you want to create a church-first philosophy, not just in the writing parts of it, but also in the practical aspects of it. What do I mean by that? If there's a church function, like in October, we have our big day. Now, I told you, we play tackle football. That's a big thing. Our homecoming day is very big. Tackle football, very popular. And I remember a few years back when we started the program, pastor said, look, you're not going to play on Saturday evenings at all. I said, I understand. Why? Because we want to make sure we're ready for church. And so everything has to be wrapped up by 6 o'clock on Saturday or we don't play. And there was a time where a team said, we can't get there until this time. And we had to cancel the game. Hey, we need to think twice about it. We told them initially, we can only play at this time. We can't play past 6 o'clock. Why? Because if you have a football game until 8, 9 o'clock at night, some of those parents are going to be tired. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to sleep in the next morning. They're not going to be in Sunday school. Believe me, that will happen. You have to make sure the church is the most important thing. When we do our calendar, I don't even think about doing the school calendar until I see the church calendar. And we work so hard to make sure there's no conflict. Now, we have a college here, too. You understand that's a little more of a conflict? We have one gym. That's why we need to build the event center, by the way. We have about 12 sports teams in the high school. The college has sports teams. The church has church leagues. And we have one gym. You should see it around here during basketball time when everyone practices from 6 in the morning till midnight to find a time to play. But we do. And we put a church-first philosophy on it. I could say more about that, but understand, when I say a church-first philosophy, everything revolves around the local New Testament church. The school is never to replace that. The school is to complement the church, not compete with the church. Did you hear that? The school is to complement, not compete. Avoid all those conflicts. Don't ever try to compete. I think a school is a great asset to the church where you can develop great young talent, great young abilities, not just in the students. How many saw Brother Guy leading the choir and the orchestra yesterday? Brother Guy is about 24 years of age. I remember when he was in college, and he was a tremendous piano player. God had a call on his life. We all saw it. Pastor hired him to be in the school. His first 2 years of the ministry were in the school. Now, I knew he wasn't going to stay around long, but for the first 2 years, guess what we did? We trained him with our music. He got to lead the school choir first, then the school orchestra, and then he led our chapels. The same thing he's doing now in the church, but guess where he was able to learn it? In the school. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was telling Brother Shore at dinner last night. I wasn't real happy when Pastor said, okay, his time's up. He's going there. But we are really a training ground, not just for the students, but for the staff that are going to help the church. Are you with me? That's why there's synergy there. What other place to learn to lead choirs than in a church, a school chapel, to lead the music? You know, if you mess up in front of the kids, they'll just laugh at you a little bit. But when you're in front of a church, that's a little bit more embarrassing. And you want to make sure that you're not going to be a stumbling block to somebody. And so it's a tremendous opportunity for you to equip people. Let's go to the last one, or the next one here. Number three. Establishing a healthy connection between the youth ministry and school. Boy, this is one of the greatest synergies you can ever have. If Brother Schmidt's counseling somebody as our youth pastor, he will send me a quick email. Had a session with the family. This is what's going on in the student's life. If they're in the school, now, by the way, not all of our youth department's in the school, but all of our school is in the youth department. They're the leaders in the youth department, and they're expected to be the leaders in the youth department. Youth department, you can have this and have that and do everything else sometimes because you're a new Christian. If you're in the school, you have leadership requirements. Amen? You're a leader in that youth group. And Brother Schmidt will email me if it's a school student struggling with this or needs some help with that, and then maybe a teacher will take them out soul winning. Amen? One of our high school students may be struggling with this. Maybe it's a young lady. Then one of the lady teachers will take them out, buy them a hamburger, and sit down with them and spend some time with them. There's great synergies there. If something happens in the school, and I think, hey, this isn't just a little problem, this is a little bit deeper, then I'll email Brother Schmidt as our youth pastor. Would you have one of the youth workers, Brother Schmidt, go to the home and see if there's something else that we can be a blessing? How can we help them? Something doesn't seem like it's right, and it seems like there's more of a root problem. You guys know what I'm talking about? You have to work together like that, and you have to be responsive to one another. Really, Brother Schmidt is not just the youth pastor. For me, he's kind of like the dean of students for our high school. He's not over there patrolling the hallways, but he comes over to chapel about every other week. We'll talk about that in a moment, but the students see a connection and link between the youth ministry and the school. They're not two separate things where you can get by with doing certain things here and certain things there. There has to be consistency there with the kids that are in the school. They can't dress one way at a youth activity that's against school casual policies. There's got to be consistency there. And in many places, there's not consistency there. You guys know what I'm talking about? What are you training a student if you're not training them to be consistent based on biblical principles? See, it's not just rules. If they get through your school and they've just been following the rules, but they don't know the biblical principle and they haven't developed those convictions, there's no wisdom. What are they going to do once they graduate? Go party hardy, be sifted by Satan. They're going to be gone. We have failed. So make sure that you establish a healthy connection between the youth department and the school in a lot of different ways. By the way, we will, certain things, we don't like interrupting academics. But for certain things like a teen retreat and special retreats for the teenagers, we just shut down all the high schools so they can go to that. Are you with me? We schedule that twice a year. Why? Because they need to be spiritually fed. We have chapel twice a week. We have Bible three times a week. In all of the classes, they pray and they spend time with Christian teachers that mentor them. But they need that time of a refreshing and retreat. And so we'll stop school for a couple of days twice a year so they can do those things. And again, I promote that. In fact, as a school, and it's a youth activity, I'll tell kids, if you're part of the school, I'll find a way to pay for it if you can't pay. I don't want any of our students not being able to take advantage of going to a teen retreat. And we'll find ways. I'll go find sponsors or I'll pay for it myself. And that's the attitude we ought to have. We need spiritually strong kids. Amen? All right. And so, again, we could talk a lot about some of these other ones, but let me move on here to number four. What time do we got until? About 10 more minutes? What time is this class supposed to finish, brother? 2:30? Okay. Good. We can go through four then. We're good. All right. We'll stop 10 minutes before that so you guys have plenty of time. The next one is weekly church and school leadership meetings. Is that what you have? All right. So every week, every Monday, we meet as a leadership team, college, church, and school. The third floor of the conference room, admin building, right next to pastor's office. Pastor leads the meeting, and he will cover things that he wants each of us to work on that week or that month or things that are coming up that are going to be projects. And then we'll go around the table, and all of us will tell upcoming events in our respective areas, what everyone needs to know, so the communication is flowing. And if there's some school event, you never want to surprise your pastor or the youth pastor about a school event they didn't know about. That should never happen. Are you with me? Happens all the time. Oh, we didn't even know you had a game there. Can I tell you this? I have an athletic director. He's almost full-time just scheduling games and so forth. We have 12 teams. We're busing them all over California, Nevada, Arizona, sometimes Kentucky, and everyone else, everywhere else you can imagine. Guess what? I never give the final approval on that calendar, on every schedule, until I let Pastor look at it first. And he will quite often say, you know what? This looks good except this one and this one. This is the Friday before missions conference, and I just want a different spirit than going to a basketball game out of town on that Friday. And so we're gonna cancel this one. You know what we say? Amen. Let's move on. That's what we do. Because it's not the most important thing. Now, you can't just do that if you have carnal kids. Your kids and your student body need to know the spiritual is the most important thing. And you create that atmosphere. But having these weekly church and school leadership meetings, everything's put up on the table. This is what we're doing this week. Oh, be aware, this is what's coming up next week. Hey, by the way, we're going to have the Harvest Festival. Can you guys talk to your Sunday school classes? We need about 25 more volunteers in this area. So the church is helping the school. By the way, in March, we have fine arts. We need about 20 people from the college to help as judges. We need this, that, and that. And I tell them months in advance. So there's coordination going on. There's emails being exchanged. We have actual notes that pastor gets. And then every item is bulleted by name. If you don't know Pastor Chapel, he's very efficient in a lot of different ways. But everything's followed up on. So everything is covered in that meeting within 3 or 4 days. If it's supposed to be done, it better be done. Or you're going to be getting a phone call. Amen? And that's the way that we keep communication going. Prioritize a consolidated annual calendar. I touched on this. We let the church calendar pretty much be done first. And then we actually look at here, a college calendar, and then we look at the school calendar. And we pretty much fit in everywhere else that we can when it comes to special events, like our homecoming event, our Spirit Week, all of that. We're not going to do Spirit Week the week before our big day. You understand what I'm telling you guys? Look at what's going on that calendar. You want to be an asset, not a liability. You want to have maximum participation in the church events. We're not going to do a sporting event before a big teen rally the day before. And so we have to make sure that we're prioritizing it. Can I tell you this, honestly? That's a lot of work. We have three or four secretaries that do that sometimes hours a day while we're making the annual budget and the annual calendar. We do them about the same time every year. And we have several secretaries that have to go back and forth. And we go back and forth, back and forth. And it goes on for weeks at a time. And after about 3 weeks, we have what we think to be the best calendar. And then guess what we do? We give the whole thing to the pastor to look at. And then guess what he does? Now, this, we need to change that, change that, change that, change this. Change. Then we go back and make those changes. And then one more time we do another review before we put it in writing. And there's always some other fine-tuning, right? And you know, once you have a calendar, is it done for the whole year? This last year we went to an automated calendar, so it's online now. Why? Because someone's going to cancel some type of event because a special speaker can't come in. And so we can update the calendar 24 hours a day. Now it's all like on Outlook. And the staff calendar, college calendar, school calendar, and you can put them all on one. They're all color-coded. So you can see what happens 24 hours a day around here. And I can tell you, it's 24 hours a day around here. But praise the Lord. But working on calendars, very important. And have that type of philosophy. If you don't do it, you're not going to have a synergy. You're going to have some frustrations. You're going to have conflicts. Listen, as school leaders, our job is to remove any potential conflicts. You're not doing your job if you allow the church and the school to butt heads. Amen? Remove any potential conflicts as much as possible. The ones you can't remove, go to your pastor. Talk to him. By the way, don't just go with a problem. Have two or three, what? Possible solutions. Don't be a school teacher or school administrator that goes to your leader and says, we can't do this because of this. No. Say, here's a potential opportunity. I don't like calling them problems. I call them opportunities. Amen. Here's a potential opportunity. We don't have a 100% solution, but here's two options. Do you think either one of these would work? And let them make the decision. You don't have to make every single decision once you get to that point. Make sure your pastor's involved. Prioritizing that school calendar is part of that process, all right? And so start with the big picture. Make sure everyone's involved. Okay, moving to the next one. Provide quality written materials and media displaying connections. We've already talked about some of those things. Let me just give you some samples of some other things. Again, here's our last graduation bulletin. Shows our graduates. We just graduated 42 from our senior class, and it's high quality, and guess the first name that's on there? Pastor Chapel. Guess when they come up on the platform to shake hands, guess who they shake hands with? And they get their diploma from Pastor Chapel. I'll call their names, but we put Pastor at the front, okay, in everything. This is we do several community outreach projects with the school. The school has a tremendous testimony in our community. We're involved. We want to be the salt and light, right? We're not going to stay in the salt shaker. My son just graduated from high school this past year, and he was of course in our school. He didn't have a choice, right? No, he did. He's a wonderful son. And he wants to be involved in governance and politics the right way, right? We don't have too much of that going on now. He feels called to do that. So he served on the Lancaster Youth Commission and was made chairman of that by his peers and served in the community with many type of outreach projects. So there's 10 high schools in Lancaster, and one of our students is chairman of the highest commission for teens in Lancaster. In every aspect, we want our teens to be engaged, to be the salt and light. We do veterans parades. Last year, we did our marching band. Of course, you got a football team, you got to have a marching band. All right. And by the way, how about this for Synergy? Do you see the church orchestra? They're good, aren't they? Are they good? We have about 200 kids in training to be a part of that church orchestra. One third of the orchestra right now is our junior high and high school kids. One third. One third. Okay. And so how about that for an asset? Right? Well, here's what we promoted in the Veterans Day booklet. Hey, we want to thank our veterans from the school. And guess whose name we have down at the bottom? My name? As the administrator? No. Pastor Chappell's name. Not only that, but this is an outreach. So guess what we have? We have a nice church invitation for Veterans Sunday. Pastor's right there, right? Are you with me? And this is an outreach. We have veterans that come to our church and visit and that want to come to our church because our high school kids participate in a Veterans Day event like this. Many opportunities to be the salt and light. And I could go on and on with some of these things, but I think you catch the idea. I need to take a moment or two and just finish these last points so we can wrap it up. Have good quality written material that shows that connection. And let me just go through this last part here. Involving the school in weekly church ministry, what does that mean? It means get the kids involved in serving in the local New Testament church and soul winning, right? If you want to be on one of our athletic teams, by the way, it's a given. You're gonna be involved in soul winning every week, or you're not going to be able to play on our football team or basketball team or baseball team. And if you don't go out soul winning, then we put you on the bench. If it goes on for a month, then you don't play on our team because it's a privilege and not a right to be a leader in our school. And we consider every athlete to be a leader. So involve the school kids in weekly ministry. Most of the kids that work on our buses come from our high school. Our kids work in other variety in the nurseries. The nurseries this week, half of those girls are in our high school. They're involved in ministry. Is that an asset? When you have kids that are discipled and equipped and love the Lord and they can serve in the local New Testament church, is that an asset? There's synergies there. I hope you guys are catching the bigger picture. I know I've covered details. But the church is the greatest asset for the school, and the school is one of the greatest assets for the church. If it's in proper perspective, the philosophy is right. Keep the spiritual, the academic, the fine arts and social, and then the athletic things. Keep them in proper perspective. Get the kids involved in ministry. Schedule church chapel speakers that come from the church. By the way, Pastor Chappell will always come to chapel at the beginning of the school year, before Christmas, in the springtime. Preach to the kids. He's their pastor, right? He's there. Kids need to realize that this is my pastor. He's not just someone I see on Sundays. He's involved in the school. All of the staff men preach in school chapel. Plus, we bring preachers in from really all over the country. They come to the college sometimes. I'll grab them and say, hey, how about doing high school chapel too? But we lay it out a year in advance. But our kids have the privilege of hearing some of the greatest preachers in America today. What a tremendous synergy. It's just amazing what can be the result of that. And we're almost done. Have special church services emphasizing Christian education. Pastor does preach once or twice a year, particularly on Christian education, again, Sunday night. These are certainly the nights that we have an open house or a special Christian school night. We open up the classrooms, come see the curriculum, meet the teachers. Christian education is not pricey. It is pr- priceless. Amen? It really is. It doesn't cost, it pays. And so you want to have a special night to emphasize that. And then finally, help staff, students, and parents build healthy connections between the church and school. And this is by having good avenues of communication and good bridges open. Make sure the feedback and the input, make sure that's all happening. But help the staff, help the students, help the parents to build these strong connections. And you're going to see a synergy like God intended it to be. And that's the bottom line here. We're going to pray in just a moment, but let me just reemphasize. Most Christian schools are not where God wants them to be today. And God wants us to take them where they're at and to take them to the next level for the glory of God. Our students deserve it. Our parents need that. Our churches, and listen, our nation needs that today. You want to see revival in America? It's not going to come from the 60 million kids in our public school system that are being taught that there is no God. It's going to come from those kids that are being grounded and rooted in the Word of God 5 days a week, 6 days a week, yea, sometimes 7 days a week, who are going to stand up, stand in the gap, and impact this world for Jesus Christ. The Lord's schools need to be the best schools. Let's make sure we're having synergies between the church and the school. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the session. Thank you for every school represented. I pray that this has been a help. I pray that it will not just encourage, but will cause them to take some actions in their schools. May they all be, Father, schools that honor you in every aspect. May excellence abound in every part of their Christian school. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.